to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, about 15 years ago, the Attorney General of the United States was criticized by some people from the media because he began each day by reading the Bible and praying in his office. Staff members were not required, but they were welcome to participate. It was front page news reporting that some Justice Department employees found it offensive and controversial. Some even said it was unconstitutional. The Attorney General was not the first person in public office to come under criticism for praying. Over 2,500 years ago, the prophet Daniel was criticized by his adversaries who were envious and who were out to get him, as we say. Daniel had such a good reputation that his enemies decided that the only thing with which they could find fault was his prayer life. Today, we direct our attention to Daniel's prayer life. In the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, we read, "So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find any charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter.' Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making prayers before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. 'Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter.' So they answered and said before the king, 'That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day.'" Daniel had a regular daily prayer routine. 3 times a day, he knelt down before an open window facing Jerusalem, and he poured out the desires of his heart to God. His prayers were directed to the only true God, who can hear and answer prayers. As the psalmist wrote, "O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come." When people pray to other gods, or when they pray to the saints, such as Mary, Peter, and a host of others, they are engaged in idolatry. The man-made gods and the saints cannot hear or answer any prayer. As the psalmist wrote, "They have eyes and ears, but they cannot see or hear. They have hands and feet, but they cannot come and help." Some years ago, during one of the many wars that broke out in the Holy Land, a news commentator reported that the rabbi of Israel told the Israeli armies that the God of Abraham was on their side. The Arab troops were told that Allah was on their side. In the Christian world, people were praying to the one true God for peace. So, to which God should people be praying? There is only one God who can send peace on earth. He is the God who says through the sacred writer, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Scoffers might ask, where is God? God is on the side of his people, as we see from the story of Daniel, who prayed to the only true God. What is really a proper prayer? Prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with the one true God. A proper prayer closes in Jesus' name, as the Savior said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." We humbly come in the name of Jesus and pray in the name of him who suffered, died, and rose again to redeem us. Prayer does not try to tell God what he should do or how he should do it. A proper prayer trusts that God will hear and answer as he promises. Jesus said, "Whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive." Prayer is not some pious prattle, but it is the words that flow from a heart that believes and trusts in God's promises. Do we pray regularly as Daniel did? Daniel took time to pray 3 times a day, generally assumed to have been morning, noon, and evening. Do you and I have regular times for prayer and meditation? Do we have set hours when we come before the throne of grace and make our requests known to our gracious God? God loved us and sent his Son to wash away our sins on the cross. Now God loves to hear us talk to him about everything that he has done for us, what he is doing for us now, and what he will also do for us in the future. A common excuse that people give for not praying is, "I am so busy." Many do not have time to pray even once a day, much less 3 times a day. Let me emphasize that Daniel was a very busy man also. He ranked as first president in the kingdom. He was next in power to King Darius himself. He had many people working under his supervision. He was accountable directly to the king. In the great Persian Empire, he held a very responsible, busy position. But even his job did not come first in importance. Prayer to the true God was given priority. What a changed world this would be if proper prayer were given the priority in our lives. Would it not be much better for us if we would rise a little earlier each morning and follow the words of the hymn writer, "With the Lord begin thy task, Jesus will direct it. For his aid and counsel ask, Jesus will perfect it. Every morn with Jesus rise, and when day is ended, in his name then close thine eyes, be to him commended." Let each day begin with prayer, praise, and adoration. On the Lord cast every care, he is thy salvation. Morning, evening, and at night, Jesus will be near thee. Save thee from the tempter's might, with his presence cheer thee. Do we ask that our many excuses for neglecting prayer and daily worship really hold up in the presence of God? Are we really that busy? Many times people are just busy talking about how busy they think they are. God is not impressed when we tell him that we are too busy to talk to him. What view would people get if they looked into the open window of our prayer life as Daniel's enemies did? Would they get an eye-opening view? or would you rather close the window and pull down the shade so that no one could see what your prayer life is like? Even Christians can become so involved with so many things that their prayer life is neglected. In the early Christian church, the apostles on one occasion were becoming so involved with so many things, material things and outward things, that they asked the congregation to choose other people to take care of temporal things, while they would devote themselves and spend their time to prayer, preaching, and teaching the Word of God. Let's be honest and admit that our prayer life is not always what it ought to be. We often are spiritually drowsy or even lazy, and we fail to realize what blessings come to us through the proper prayer. Dr. Martin Luther knew the power of prayer. We are told that often when things were not going right and everything seemed to be caving in all around him, and the people who opposed him seemed to be so great in number that he did not know whom he could trust, he would say to his close friend, Philip Melanchthon, "Come, Philip, let us go and sing a song and pray." After having refreshed themselves spiritually through the power of prayer, they returned to their work, and get this, they accomplished much more in a lot less time. Luther also said that when you pray, half the work is done. We are told in Holy Scripture that the Lord Jesus himself often spent the night in prayer privately. If we are God's people, then we are a praying people. It is true that prayer does not make you a child of God. You are a child of God by faith in Jesus, who suffered, died, and rose again to redeem you. But if you really believe and trust in him as your Savior, you will pray and talk to him. It is very striking that the people who were trying to find fault with Daniel could not find anything against him, except, as they said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." His enemies were his co-workers. His fellow laborers in the government were filled with hatred and envy. They were jealous of the reputation Daniel enjoyed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it were said also of us that the only fault people could find with us would be in regard to our faith and our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be wonderful if in your business, in your work, in your recreation, in your relationship with your fellow men, if in all of these areas you would be faultless? How wonderful it would be if people wanted to find fault with you, that it would have to be on the same basis as they found fault with Daniel, namely his prayer life. For a time it appeared as if Daniel would be the loser. His co-workers plotted and planned against him. They held a secret meeting. Then they came with their request to the king, asking him to sign what we today might call an executive order for the entire land, that no one should pray to any god or person for the next 30 days, except to the king. Little did King Darius know what was being done behind his back. Piously, these leaders of the land paraded before the king and appealed to his personal pride, and the king fell for it. Yes, leaders in the land are not always to be trusted, and the motives of men are not always known. When people are jealous and envious, there is no telling what they will do. Daniel's co-workers spoke as if they really had the welfare of the king at heart, but beneath it all was a plot to get rid of God's servant. King Darius signed the decree at the request of all of his advisors, not knowing that this was a plan to be used against Daniel, for whom the king had the highest respect and concern. However, Neither the king nor his advisers knew what many in high and low places today do not know, namely that when people set themselves against God's plans, and that when the enemies of the Lord set out to silence God's children, they are setting themselves against the Almighty God, and they will be the losers. Daniel continued to pray three times a day as before. In one verse of our text, we have a most beautiful portrayal of a praying person. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel was not a show-off. He had been praying that way for years. Oh, that this also were a portrait of you and me. Would to God that this were always a portrait of our prayer life. Would to God that the people who look into your home and mine would see the same scene. Husband and wife, father and mother, son and daughter, all praying together. But how many, so to speak, would we find they would rather close the window, pull down the shade, and close the shutters because they are ashamed of what their prayer life really is? At this point, in spirit, let us take each other by the hand and walk to the window of Daniel, and take a good look. Let's learn from Daniel's example. If our prayer life is something of which we ought to be ashamed, then let's take the first step. Let's admit that it is not what it ought to be. Then let's take another look into the private prayer life of Daniel, and perhaps also into our own lives, and then be prepared to take a second step. Let's get down on our knees and plead and pray. O God, forgive us our failure to pray and talk to you as we should. Firmly believe that he also forgives this sin, and firmly believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, also our sin of prayer neglect and carelessness in our prayer life. Let's take one another by the hand and take another look into the prayer life of Daniel. And then let's take the third step. Let's decide here and now that we are going to change it. Let's decide here and now that it is going to be different beginning with today. Let the world laugh. Let the unbelieving people find fault with our prayer life and with our Christian faith. By the grace of God, we will be blessed by him who hears and answers our prayers. You are familiar with the words that follow our text. Daniel was cast into the lion's den, but God was with him. God delivered him from the mouth of the lions. When the king saw the miraculous deliverance by the Almighty God, and when he learned that the whole thing was a plot against Daniel, he commanded that all of Daniel's accusers and enemies be taken and be cast into the lion's den. They were the losers. They were destroyed. The story gives us encouragement to pray regularly, fervently, and frequently to the one true God who loves us and who sent his Son to be our Savior. Strengthened in our faith in Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins, for victory over sin, death, and the devil, we will have many more heart-to-heart talks with God. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Almighty Father, heaven and earth, with lavish wealth before thee bow, those treasures owe to thee their birth, Creator, Ruler, Giver thou. We, Lord, would lay at thy behest the costliest offerings on thy shrine. But when we give and give our best, we give thee only what is thine. O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bear our offerings home. Lord, make them thine forevermore. Amen. We pray, O Lord Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord, accept our offering of thanks and praise. How great was your devotion to the task of our redemption. How totally unselfish was the sacrifice you made in our behalf. Our sins brought you pain and suffering and death. You brought us life and salvation, the debt we owed to you, our holy and just God, was paid by our Lord and Savior Jesus. O now, dear Savior, your intercession to God in our behalf gives us courage and boldness to pray and confidence that our prayers will be answered. Through the Holy Spirit, teach us to call upon your name without ceasing. Teach us what good things for which we should pray. May unbelief and doubt never keep us from praying or prevent our prayers from being heard and answered. Give us faith to believe that you accept our prayers for the sake of your precious Son. Help us to pray with contrite hearts that make humble confession of our sins. Come with your divine blessings, O Holy Redeemer, that all who believe in you may in your blessings find complete satisfaction. Dear Savior, grant that our love for you may never be replaced by a lust for the things of this world. Keep us from yielding to soul-destroying sins. May the Holy Spirit keep us from trusting in anyone or anything, only to you. Help us always to walk in the Spirit, that led by him, we may follow your pure example and thereby testify to the source of our faith and love. Forgive every occasion when we fail to trust you, to love you, to keep you in our thoughts, to serve you, to continue in your word, to pray to you, to praise you, or to witness about you to others. Cover us with your righteousness, dear Savior. How it comforts us to know that you are our everlasting King, who rules supreme, hearing and answering our prayers and causing all things to work for our good. Yes, even those things that frighten and afflict us. All praise to your name in earth and in heaven, precious Savior. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, we pray, grant us a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love to you and to all our fellow men. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord and Savior, who lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.